Ladies, I want to thank you, Gabby, for inviting me to give my testimony tonight. That's what she asked me to do. And I want to thank you, ladies of Grace Baptist Church, for you've given me such a warm welcome up here. You might have the drippiest, wettest place I've ever been, but the welcome here has just been delightful. And your smiles are some of the most beautiful smiles I've ever seen. And that really speaks to me of what's going on in your hearts. And I really want to thank you for such a warm welcome. When I prepared for this, I mean, I can give you my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. I was very, very fortunate. But I wanted to share something a little more than that tonight. And I want to talk about the God I love. I've been saved for half a century. I've been walking with God a long time. I know him. He knows me. What a blessing. I get to talk about him. She asked me if I wanted to do that. I said, do you mean I get to talk about God? Of course I want to talk about God. What could be better than that? Nothing. Does it make me nervous? Yes. Could I eat dinner? No. Okay. So, he's very, very special to me. And through life and the path that he's given us, we find a special relationship and experience with our Lord and Savior. How many of you have asked Christ to be your Savior in this room? Most of you? So you have that relationship. And I wanted to talk to you. I thought that might be the case. So instead of really talking about how I got saved, I wanted to talk to you about how do you make sure your faith is communicated to the next generation. Are you building a Christian home for your children? Or maybe it's your grandchildren. We can make a difference. My parents both came from, my mom's parents were unsaved. My dad's parents, one was saved and one was not. So they didn't have, I would say, Christian homes, okay? They didn't get saved till their teens. And I think I was born 3 years after my mother was saved. So they were new Christians, and I got to watch them change, right? But I wanted to tell you about how my mom got saved. She didn't come from a saved family. No, it was my Grandma Ida. Now, Grandma Ida had 13 children. 12 boys. All of them dairy farmers around a small town in Michigan. And my grandfather was one of them. But she had married an unsaved man. And she was on her knees praying for her husband and her 12 unsaved boys. Her daughter actually died. So she ended up with 12 boys. She did a lot of praying, my Grandma Ida. She was my great-grandmother, but no one called her great-grandma. We just all called her Grandma Ida. By the time I came along, I think half the town was related to me. But she would babysit my mom. for my unsaved parent, grandparents who went dancing every Saturday night into whatever they did, if she could take those girls, my mom and her sisters, to church. She didn't approve of dancing, but she wanted those granddaughters to go to church. And from her consistent witness, my mom found the Lord. So one of my first memories is sitting on a pew by Grandma Ida with my dress, having my legs sticking straight out on, you know, on the pew, and getting a smack when I wiggled, right? But Grandma Ida prayed and prayed and prayed for her husband. He got saved when he was 80 years old. And she sent us all 8x10 pictures, you know, those big pictures. She took him to the photographer in town, and she had a picture of him reading the Bible with her. She had prayed for 63 years for her husband to get saved. The whole town knew when Grandpa got saved. And she sent us all a picture of her and her husband reading the Bible. That kind of faith and the prayers being answered spoke to my mother, showed her that God answered prayer, that God was real. And my mother showed me that kind of faith. I kind of knew that, but it wasn't until we moved off the farm, when they deregulated milk, when no one longer could do the dairy, that I heard about the consequences of sin. Boy, I knew about sin. Because I knew I'd done wrong things. On top of the dairy, milk house, whatever. I was not in the places I should have been a lot of the times. I think we were climbing rafters in the barn one time, and I got my 30-year-old brother up there. But he didn't quite make it. He fell 40 feet. Landed on his face. Let's just say I'm glad I have a little brother, because he ended up in emergency and stuff. But I almost did too, because I sure got the bottom end of that deal. But anyway, God always has his hand, and he protects those he wants. And my mom's faith, over and over and over again, I watched her grow and grow. And her life kept changing. I'm going to tell you one story about my mom, because I'm going to share a verse, and I'm going to go to the scripture, because I like to tell stories. As we get older, we do. But I'm going to tell this story because it illustrates about walking with the Lord. When we share our faith, we need to share it with our kids as we walk with the Lord, and we need to see him all the time. My mom took me as a teenager to buy a special dress she needed. And she took me to this store that had everything on sale on Fridays or whatever. So we went, we sat in the parking lot of this big mall, and she bowed her head, and we prayed that the Lord would, she just said, "Lord, I need this dress, you know, and it has to be in my budget." And so we go in there, and I'm kind of watching. We go in. I thought, okay, she's going to go and find a beautiful dress, you know, in the fancy things. She didn't go to the fancy rack. She went to the clearance rack. And sure enough, she found a dress. It fit her. It was beautiful on her, and it was her style. You know, it was fitter. And I was like, whoa, that's cool, Mom. You know, it's like half price. Get it. She shook her head. Can't. It's not in the budget. Still too much. And I'm like, what? You just prayed. God answered. And in my mind, I'm going, well, just go to Dad. Get some more money. You know, let's do this thing. This is obviously what God wants. It fits you. It's right. No. I prayed, and God knows what I prayed, and I really feel this isn't right. So we went home. We didn't get the dress. All right, I just didn't get it. We went back the next week, and we sat in that car in the parking lot, and we prayed again. And we went in that store. Do you know that dress was still there? And it had been marked down further. And I'm like, Mom! She tried it on. She made sure it was all right, because, you know, you didn't want that to be soiled from the week in between. And I'm like, Mom, God answered your prayer. And she looked at the price. No. Still can't afford it, hon. And I was like, I didn't get it. What do you mean? You don't, hi, Mom, I've got some money. I was going to give her my money. And she said, no. We got in the car, and I really didn't quite get it until we went back the third week. And I'm like, Mom, are we going to pray again? She goes, yes. And we prayed. We went in there, and there was that dress, still on that rack, but it was within her budget. And she said, you know, God, I can trust God to give me what I need, when I need it, and when he knows I can afford. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to go asking for other people to fulfill a need. I don't have to get it my way. I can trust God. That's a big lesson. That's a big lesson, ladies. Because what do we try to do? I mean, I'd still do. You know, you can see, oh, that's what God wants. That dress was perfect for her. But I needed to learn that God was close enough to my mom that he just was walking right beside her. And that lesson was for me. That's why it took 3 weeks. All right? And I know that now. But God used her simple faith. And she just shared it with me. This was her common practice. If she needed something, she asked the Lord for it. Every afternoon at 2 o'clock, she went in her bedroom and started praying. We would sit by the door and try to listen. I don't know if your parents do that, but my mom did. And we knew she prayed. And God answered her prayers. She walked with God. My mom didn't have long to be with us. We didn't know that. She died before, about 8 months after I got married. So she's been gone a long time. But one of my very last memories of her is her singing, God is good to me. God is good to me. She could no longer see. She could no longer do much. But she was singing, God is good to me. And that's the very last thing I remember as she was dying in the hospital. Her God walked with her every step of the way. He knew everything about her, all her needs, and it was like her best friend. And because of her faith, I could learn to trust him. And I was very fortunate. So I have three brothers, two other sisters and one other brother, so there are four of us in my family, siblings, and three of us were in full-time service. And I think because of her faith that she showed us, her faith was good enough to live by and all the way to the end. God is good. He is so good. And I wanted to share that to you, because that became a pattern for me. But that pattern is in God's word. And that's what I want to share to you tonight. If you would open up, well, my life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'll quote that to you. But every time I need to quote something, and I'm nervous, I will probably misquote it. So I'm going to make sure I have my Bible open to it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I have had to learn different parts of these verses so much in my life. Trust all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways. There's just so much in these verses that I have to still learn. But in Deuteronomy 6, God gave some of these same ideas to the Israelites after he gave them the Ten Commandments. And they're the same principles that he gave them to teach their children. I want you to think about that as you listen to this. Now, this is just after he's giving the Ten Commandments. Now, these are the commandments. This is Deuteronomy's 6. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may go, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So he said, here's the commandments. That you might fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right. So he's giving them a charge. He's saying, this is what you have to do so that when you go into Canaan, what I promised you, so that your sons and your sons' sons, like your children and your grandchildren, will follow God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Does that sound familiar? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means this has to be real for you. You cannot pass on something that is not real to you. So the very first thing you have to work on is not making sure the house is clean, not making sure the homeschooling is done, or the school prep is done, or the clothes are clean. It's got to be making sure that your heart is ready for the day and that he's with you. Does that mean you have to spend a half hour in devotions? No. Does that mean you have to spend a few moments in prayer? Yes. I know how busy moms are. I used to feel so guilty because I couldn't spend that hour like my mom used to in the room. She did that when I was a teenager, not when we have all those little babies all around. When you can't even feel like you can get into the toilet for 4 minutes with any privacy. I know what that feeling is. But you have to love him so much with your whole heart that you need to think about him. Okay? Look for him. He's there. Just don't go throughout your day thinking that you have all these things to do and forget our God. Love him with all your heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So here, he's telling them they're going to be in all these different places, in their house, on their hands, on before their eyes. See, he doesn't really mean do that. The Israelites do that. They kind of have menorahs by their doors that they touch that have scripture in them and stuff. And that becomes a ritual then. That's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about that you're thinking about them. That they're on your mind. That you're thinking about God. That he's part of your thought process and that you're doing it for him. We were in the mall the other day, Sophia and I, and everybody around us was kind of frowning. And I said, "Sophia, let's smile." She goes, "Why, Grandma?" I said, "Well, I get to be with you, which is a good thing. And Jesus loved me so much, he died for me. We got reason to smile." And so we smiled, didn't we, Sue? And so we were talking about Jesus just a little bit as we walked along. So as you walk along, as you sit down, wherever you are, your thoughts got to go to God. And when you do that, your children start to get the idea of God's here. And the other verse I like for my kids was, "Thou God seeth me." God's everywhere. That takes away some of the fears that are today. Because we live in a generation who doesn't acknowledge that God even created a man and a woman. All right? They don't. So we need to let them know that God is here. Anyway, the rest of this passage talks about if you do this, then they will... they will... That's all right. That... you will be able to withstand Satan's two attacks in life. One when things get bad, and one when things are really good. Because when things are really good, we tend to forget God. And when things are really bad, we tend to blame God. Do you know, building my faith helped me be ready for when my two-year-old had 50% of his body covered with second and third degree burns. I didn't know he was going to survive. I didn't know what to do. It was terrifying. But God had a special plan for him, because he's your pastor today. All right? What a miracle. What a blessing. What did God do? You know, that's wonderful, because I didn't know if he would make it. And then 10 years after that, they told me, I had to take him back in to get tested for AIDS at 10 because of the blood transfusions they had given him at 2. And I was scared to death. But who was in control? Not me. God was. The little one's a little upset, but she's a precious being from God. I don't see a clock anywhere, so if I'm losing too much time, you let... Oh! No, I tell them all the time in the world. Anyway, I just wanted to share with you that the path, whatever it is that God has for you, we can share it, our generation or the next. You can be a Grandma Ida, or you can just be Mom and share your faith. And look for ways to do that. I was just going to show a little example of one way that I saw just the other day. And I am a trained teacher, and I kind of go that way. So I'm going to ask you to forgive me. because you're going to learn something. All right? I come from a place where 6 months out of the year is snow. We don't have as much rain, but this would be all snow. How many of you have been in snow? Anyone here? It's beautiful, right? It's cold. But if you ever get to see snow under a microscope, it's probably one of the most beautiful creations that God has ever done. So I just brought a little bit of a clip that you can look at some under a microscope. Because it's really cool how it's formed. There's a saying that no two snowflakes are alike. None of us are alike. And we all have a different path and a different experience with God. But the thing we have to do is share our faith. That doesn't mean that we get up and preach, but it does mean that we look for times to share. Each snowflake starts with a piece of dust. Ladies, we're dust. Okay? We're dust. The Bible says that we're made from the dust of the earth, and we're dust. Just a piece. Adhere to it is a water droplet or whatever. And as it temperature drops or water adheres to it, it will form a hexagon. And then that will form more. And I'll let the little clip show you how they form. And as they leave the cloud, even if the dust comes from the same cloud, the same kind of dust, and starts the same, it will fall differently. Because the wind might carry one over there. It might cover one this way. And the temperature might be different over here, or the water might be different. And it might look different here. It might swell. It might bump into another one. But by the time it reaches the earth, it's totally different in shape, in design. Our lives are like that. You are unique in how God wants you to be. Your testimony and your life and how it looks and your path is yours to give God glory. The circumstances that form you are in God's control. Whether they're hard, whether they're glorious, look for Him. I had one grandmother that would look at the trees with snow and say, "Oh, God put lace on them today." And just that little reminder that God was in the control of who did it. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by science. It was by God. So I'm going to put this on, and just on this table here, and you can see. Yeah, I'm not used to these things. Thank you. Just because, and then you can come around and look at it. But just some thoughts tonight to maybe help encourage you to be a testimony to our next generations. And to keep close to our Lord. So just some beautiful snowflakes. Oops. How did that get on there? Anyway. So, if you wanted to. And in a word of prayer. And think about snowflakes. I know people are calling people snowflakes today. They don't have a good connotation with that, but these are beautiful because God created these. Okay. Anyway, could we bow for a word of prayer, and then you might want to enjoy looking at that or not. Dear God, I want to thank you for your word and how it teaches us to share the unique path that you've given us to follow. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to give you glory each step of the way. We thank you for what you've done and what you will do. In Christ's humbly name, Amen.